All right, so picture this. You're a shareholder. Your company's about to merge with another big one. Seems like a good thing, right?
Sounds promising.
But then they throw a curveball. It's not a merger, they say. It's an asset sale.
Oh, that changes things.
And you might not have the protections you thought you did.
I see where this is going.
That's exactly the situation we're diving into today. Harrington v. ARCO Electronics.
A 1963 Delaware case?
Yep, and it still has ripple effects on mergers and acquisitions.
Huge implications. It really highlights how structuring a deal can impact shareholder rights.
We've got the court opinions for this deep dive.
The legal analyses, too,
Even some modern examples.
showing how relevant Harrington still is
Our goal,
to help you
how
understand
this case shaped corporate law.
and spot those tactics in the business world.
Knowledge is power, especially with investments.
Absolutely.
So, to set the stage, we've got ARCO and Laurel, two electronics companies.
Both wanting to combine forces.
But instead of a typical merger, they got creative.
Creative is one way to put it. ARCO sold all its assets to Laurel
Whoa, all of them.
for Laurel stock. Then ARCO dissolved, distributing the Laurel shares to their own shareholders.
Sounds like a merger in disguise.
Essentially, yes, but through a different method.
Looks like a merger on the surface, assets combined.
Companies basically become one.
But they sidestep some big shareholder rights.
Because mergers have built-in protections for shareholders. Most importantly, appraisal rights.
Appraisal rights. Break that down for us.
Sure. They give dissenting shareholders
The ones against the merger.
exactly the right to demand a fair valuation of their shares in court. It's protection against a bad deal.
So a way out for those who think the deal is bad.
Precisely.
But in Harrington, those rights disappeared because it wasn't technically a merger.
God.
That's got a sting for the shareholders.
It did, and that's where Mr. Harrington, our unhappy shareholder, comes in. He argued he should have had those appraisal rights.
Regardless of the legal maneuvering,
He wanted the court to look at the reality, not just the technicalities.
it's a merger, call it what it is.
Pretty much. But Delaware courts are very by the book. They weren't convinced.
Known for their strict approach.
Yeah. They basically said, you followed the asset sale rule, so it's all good.
Even if it looks and smells like a merger.
Yep. They stress that asset sales and mergers are legally separate with different consequences.
So even if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck,
If the paperwork says it's a chicken,
the court's hands are tied.
exactly. This set a huge precedent. Companies could now structure these pseudo mergers.
Getting merger benefits while possibly avoiding some shareholder protections.
Exactly.
So Harrington v. ARCO Electronics gave companies this loophole. Is it still the Wild West out there? Or have things changed?
Well, Harrington hasn't been overturned.
Still relevant.
Oh, yeah, it's cited constantly. Still shakes how deals are made.
Lawyers will use it.
All the time to navigate M&A complexities. And a big reason is Delaware's formalism in corporate law.
Formalism. Okay, explain that one. What does that mean in practice?
Basically, Delaware courts stick to the letter of the law.
The specific requirements?
Yep. If you check all the boxes, follow the procedures, the court gives you leeway.
Even if it seems unfair to some shareholders, like Harrington.
That's the tension. Delaware's approach is predictable, creates a business-friendly environment.
So companies know what to expect.
Right. Makes Delaware attractive for incorporation.
Makes sense. But it could also lead to companies exploiting loopholes, right?
It's the flip side. Does it really protect shareholders, or can it silence dissent?
Good point. So for our listeners, let's say you're in Mr. Harrington's shoes. A company's using an asset sale like a merger. What can you do?
Things have evolved since 1963. There are new avenues.
So it's not a dead end?
Not necessarily. There's fiduciary duties, for example.
Meaning.
Directors and officers have to act in the best interests of shareholders.
So even if they technically follow the rules,
If they're harming shareholders,
there could be grounds for legal action.
possibly. Courts might scrutinize a deal if there's bad faith or fraud
So
involved.
it's not a free pass.
Right. There are checks and balances, but Harrington is a reminder. Delaware focuses on statutory compliance.
Follow the rules, you get leeway,
Yeah,
which can be good and bad.
exactly. Clarity and efficiency, but also potential for exploitation. It's a debate that continues today.
Decades after Harrington.
It really shows the complexities of balancing these interests. Shareholder rights, business efficiency, the court's trying to keep up.
Speaking of evolving, are there any recent cases building on Harrington that our listeners should know about?
One interesting trend is appraisal arbitrage.
What's that?
Hedge funds using appraisal rights to make a profit. They buy shares in a company being acquired, vote against the merger, and then demand appraisal.
Hoping for a higher price.
Exactly.
So they're using appraisal rights as leverage.
You could say that. It's controversial. Some see it as a valid investment strategy, ensuring fair value. Others say it disrupts deals and increases costs.
Sounds like Harrington is just the beginning. M&A law is complicated. It's been quite a journey with this case, an asset sale back in the 60s leading all this. Shareholder rights, corporate strategy, changes in law.
M&A is really dynamic. Harriton might be old, but its impact is still unfolding.
Before we wrap up, let's bring it back to our listeners. We've covered a lot of legal stuff, appraisal rights, fiduciary duties, Delaware's approach. But what does it all mean for someone investing in the stock market? Any red flags shareholders should watch out for? Things that should make them dig deeper?
Great question. I think the key takeaway going back to Harriton is don't just trust the labels.
Merger or asset sale might not be what it seems.
Exactly. Don't just take their word for it. Look at the details of the deal. Go beyond the headlines. Are there any weird parts of the deal?
Things that seem out of place.
Right. Does it look like the company is trying really hard to avoid legal requirements? Or shareholder votes?
Those are warning signs.
Definitely. It's like being a detective, looking for clues.
I like that.
And understanding cases like Harriton helps you do that. It gives you a framework for analyzing these situations, helps you recognize patterns and the possible consequences.
Because knowledge is power.
Exactly. You need to understand the rules of the game to protect yourself.
Right.
And don't hesitate to get professional advice. If you're not sure about something, especially with investments, talk to a corporate lawyer.
Get an expert opinion.
They can help you figure things out and stand up for your rights.
Like having a guide through a tricky situation.
Good analogy. In the end, I think Harriton v. Arco Electronics reminds us, even though it's an older case, the issues are still relevant. Shareholder rights, corporate power, legal loopholes, these are ongoing discussions.
Things are constantly changing.
Exactly.
So if you're reading about a merger or acquisition, think back to Harriton. Ask questions. Get informed. Know your rights as a shareholder.
So important.
Knowledge is your best defense in the world of corporate deals.
Well said. I think that wraps up our deep dive. Hope you found it useful and made you think and maybe even empowered you a bit.
We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive. We'll keep exploring the world of law and business. Until then, stay curious.